Hello.
Hello,
Hello.
Just a second.
What a nice sunny office you have today.
Isn't that? That's really nice, yeah, but I have to shut it out a little, you know? I
Oh,
can't see at all. Yeah. It's the first sunlight. Wow. Hello.
Hey folks, how are y'all doing?
Not doing good.
Glad to hear it. I'm just now realizing that I forgot to make coffee. That's all right. I'll be okay.
Okay, well, you can go and pick up coffee if you need.
Yes.
I might just get it started real quick. One
Do that.
second.
We are still waiting for people, right? So.
Will you be going to WolfCon this year?
Oh, I hope so.
Yes. Okay. We
Whereas,
haven't decided yet, so it's the same for me. Get the plans.
my setup is really vulnerable right now.
Oh, okay.
The screen just went black. But you can see on T and TMA, right? It's all right.
No worries.
Yeah.
So I have the same. I have a bigger monitor. I have also when I, need to have several screens up and so. But it's it has been from the day one. So I don't know if it was a cheap one, but
I know.
if I touch just a little bit, then it's going black, and you can. I have to test all the cords to see where it is. It's so there's some. Something wrong somewhere.
It
It's
is. I don't know if it's the connections. I mean the USB-C ports or something.
exactly.
That is so delicate. I don't know. And the table is moving a little bit, and then
Black.
no connection.
That's
Well, let's see. I don't know for WolfCon. I hope so that we can go. I mean, it's in Europe. The travel cost should be lower.
And
I
Prague
hope.
is not so expensive also.
Exactly.
So yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We will see. I mean, I hope that I can go because I'm on product council. At least I would like to attend the meetings. So, yeah.
Also if I was not at WolfCon last year, so it would be great to reconvene and get back.
It's very valuable to see the people. I mean, we can't stress that enough, I think. No, we every time we are talking about how good it was to see each other in person, and you get the point through more clearly. But my focus has changed a little. That's why I also miss a lot of meetings. I have how is it called? I split my work portfolio and another project, so that's that's why
You are juggling several.
exactly. And I have to still figure out how to get the right percentage of time for a distributor to the right projects. And so some of the meetings have to go. I have to miss them. Fortunately, this one was one of them. Often.
Is the other project a product also like Folio, or is it
No, it's more strategic, more event planning, outreach, situation, communication group, because that's something I do generally. And that's where I moved to in the institution here as well. So
It is wild, how much time I spend on Folio community stuff. And it's not like explicitly in my job description or anything, and there's this whole other job, the things that like I actually have to do. But I'm really glad that my institution and so many of the people who work on Folio have institutions that see the value of investing in the community, because if, like for A&M at least, it's been huge being able to see things coming and do real strategic planning, and that all comes from involvement in the community. So.
I will also say it is the institution investing in that you have knowledge, true knowledge about the folio. And I can see, so we work also with the AdCult company, and they are not attending really any meetings except for linked data sig. And so they ask so many, and it is hard work to get this knowledge. And you can only get it by being active and reading the documents and follow the JIRA and all of that. It is simply hard work to keep up. It's not something any of us have read 10 pages and then we are all dressed up for folio. It's constantly. So if we want to be, have this being as close as possible to, follow what's up, what's happening, what's new, what's to be done, etc. You need to be active. I can see that. And otherwise, you will always be kind of li this satellite just running around trying to find the right wiki pages, and you don't have I mean,
even I basically quit being part of the resource access sig. I really, really noticed that I am losing the connection to the product, and that's really not good. So I try to now focus on that as well. So I was once more connected, and you lose it really quickly. I notice now. It's very interesting. So yeah, I fully think that's true. Yeah.
I have a couple employees that I have asked to pick SIGs to join that like kind of pertain to their domain at A&M. And so when I meet with them, I ask them, how are things in the SIG? And I'm always hearing about stuff that I never would have heard about otherwise, and it just makes me realize like how deep Folio goes at every single point, and it's such a big application, and you could pick any app in Folio and there's just enough stuff there to keep a person busy all day long. So
But it is good that you are having this knowledge sharing across your institution. And I also, so here at IndexData, we have a couple of Slack channels where I can post folio-specific information. And that is to, make sure that it's not just information I have, but it is shared with the colleagues. And we try our best to do something like that.
Something we actually haven't gotten back to it in 2026 yet, so we need to get it fired up. But something we were doing all year last year is Stephen Pimpel, who's on the community council, and Kevin Day, who's on the technical council, and myself would have a monthly meeting every month internally just to kind of talk about what's going on and make sure that we're coordinating our efforts, and those sorts of I wonder sometimes about like the different organizations that are involved in Folio, if they're all getting the most out of it, like both ways, like if they're getting the most benefit out of their community involvement, or if the community is getting the best benefit out of their involvement, and just strategies that we employ there. I don't A lot of our approach comes from having been involved in a lot of open source projects before, but that might not be the case for every organization. Maybe Folio is the first open source product that they've used, and it's just different. The investment is different.
And I say, some maybe are more engaged in the conversation happening directly with their given vendor. There's EBSCO user group is to have an event here sometime this spring or something. So maybe that's kind of some Folio conversation is happening in that
I'm sure.
area as well.
That is really, I think you're probably right. I think there are a lot of institutions who view their hosting provider as their interface to the community, and their thinking is, I'm going to interface with their hosting provider, and they can deal with the community.
That's what how we do it in GBV, and many of the German networks are doing it like that. But that's how the libraries have also chosen to do it here. So, yeah.
It can also be maybe a little the language barrier for your German colleagues, because yeah, then.
True. Yeah,
That's
we are not only
interesting.
translating the wishes of the community, but also the language. Sometimes, yes.
Yeah, Folio politics are hard enough to understand in English when it's your native language,
I'm glad to hear it, but I'm not.
I mean, there's
Sometimes
so
I'm not.
many meetings that I'm in where I'm like, what are we talking about? What's going on here?
I mainly have problems with the paraphrasation of things, that you sometimes in English use a very unspecific kind of communication for things to be polite or be also businesslike. I understand that. And I'm long enough in the community to now have deciphered it somehow. And I will also try to also talk like that, but I am still very German. And just wanting to get the point through and not hurting any feelings, of course, but to just please get to the point. Let's just talk about that. And sometimes a bit hard to keep up.
Say what you mean.
Yeah, please. It's easier. And kind of more polite in our culture, at least. I will not waste your time with any other stuff. I will get to the point and then we can talk afterwards about the feelings. But I also I understand how why that why the polite language has to be. It's yeah, I fully understand the culture around it. But it's hard sometimes.
I think there's definitely benefits to both approaches. And the truth is even in like American culture or English speaking culture, when you get the closer your working relationship with somebody, the more direct you feel like you can be, and it does make things easier and more efficient. So,
True.
well, I'm going to share my screen and we can try to get some
Yeah.
stuff done. I'm just trying to remember where we were at with things last time. I work from home on Wednesdays, so I'm working all the time. In this meeting, I'm always working on a laptop, and I hate working on a laptop screen. I like big screen, but. So last time we were going through this draft of a minimally viable development initiative proposal. So just Jana, it's Jana, right?
Oh, Jana. But Jana is
I can
fully
do
okay.
Jana. What just to catch you up, Jana, on what we were doing last time is there was basically two different versions of the proposal out there. There was the original that was proposed in isolation, the one that was proposed in the context of the CDDF, and they were very different. And so we thought that what we could do is compare the two and try to come up with what we wanted for a third version, which would be this minimally viable version. And so we did a lot of discussion on that. I did a draft of the minimally viable one, and last time we got it was about halfway through, I think, just reading through it and commenting and putting comments on the side with the intent that we can change those things in a new version. So I'll just kind of quickly move through what's going on. The big change that we have here in this minimally viable version is that we're very explicit about the DIP being created from a UX prod. So the idea is that a DIP has to reference at least one UX prod, but it can reference multiple UX prods. And we're looking at the idea of having these things be automated, like the ability to kind of create them with a button click. So if you go to a UX prod and you want to create a DIP that references it, like maybe just including like an automation routine on the UX prod that you can click that will then create a DIP on a separate dashboard that copy some of the data over. Now, some of the discussion that we had last time was concern about double reporting and creating a situation where you're having to track something in two different places or keep data synchronized between two different places. And so that's kind of, I think, Charlotte, was that where we were at when we wrapped up, was kind of digging in on that topic?
No, we didn't wrap up because I raised my concern about, the DIP being double bookkeeping and the POs for, extra work, etc., etc. And I tried to suggest that we, had a section in the UX prod that was the DIP information, but I was told no way. So I'm fine with that. I accept it. But I had to raise it because I know how many UX prod features PO is dealing with for each. Now we don't even know if flower releases will continue or if we are only going to have incremental releases, how everything is then to happen. I don't know. But I accept the pushback I got.
Well, I've been thinking about it a lot, and since our last conversation, and this line right here, summary copied and description copied over from UX prod, are the only two fields that would need to be synchronized between the two. But because it's only two fields, I mean, we could make it so that there's no redundant data between the two, that it's just a new artifact that just links back, and then there would be no possibility for double bookkeeping because the data would not exist in both places. Does that help from your perspective?
So I can the summary and the description that's all fine. But I'd say and but the description might be much longer in the UX part because here you need to scope your work, you need to also highlight what is out of scope. You need to make it understandable for both developers and for subject matter experts, and in some cases, their worlds are very different. So if you write in one way to so subject matter experts understand it, then developers will, not have a clue. Backend developers hate to if they are forced to look at the UI. So. But yeah, this is probably something we are We will set it to sail, and then we need to evaluate
Yeah.
as well.
Another thing that I thought maybe we might not want to say is maybe I think that practically speaking, this might be the case that the coordinator for a dip would end up being the product owner. But I think that plays into your concern also of double bookkeeping. So maybe it would be better not to include this explicitly in this document. I think the way that it probably would be easiest to have it work is for the coordinator to automatically be whoever clicked the button to create the dip. Like if they clicked it, then they're set as the coordinator. And maybe we just don't mention that is likely to be the product owner.
But in a way, I think it's more honest
Okay.
to show to illustrate that it is most likely landing on the desk of the product owner. Also, because it takes sometimes even more time if you have to fill in another person who is completely blank on something instead of doing it yourself.
All right.
But some teams are big and they have two product owners and product owners and a scrum master and so I'd say we shouldn't box ourselves in who
Yeah.
exactly to do it because the teams are different in size and qualifications.
There are also the SIG groups that are also working sometimes on enriching those issues as well and working with them. Is that something that we should keep in mind and not focus on one role to be locked in as well, I think.
I agree that it could be anyone who is particularly involved in that given issue who could also be supporting the PO.
Okay. The dip is created, dedicated to Jira issue type, in a dedicated Jira issue type. I don't think this is optional. I think we want it to be in its own project. I added this morning. When a dip is created, the data in the seed UX prod is used to initialize several fields within the new dip. Those two, so, summary and description. After the dip is created, there is no automated concurrency between the dip and the seed UX prod. Basically, just stating the fact that the data is only used to initiate the dip, but we're not going to try to, keep them synchronized unless the coordinator feels like it's important.
Or the PO.
Yeah.
So the
Yeah.
role of the coordinator can be anyone who is, or is that a set role?
It is a set role. I have roles
So,
listed in here.
one of the very, very typical things happening when you start look at a new UX prod ticket. Then you think, ah, this looks like this is all set and ready. But then when you start to work on it, then you see, ah, in order to make this really function, then there is missing specific new patron notice tokens. Yes. I have
Yeah.
something in mind, and so that's why. And then scope creep
Yeah.
is
Yeah.
happening. So I'd say, how are we dealing with that? Because the dip is kind of taking how many resources are we to spend on this? Put in a kind of a figure for that. And in 90% of all the tickets I have worked on, they are growing while working.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, to some degree, the minimally viable dip doesn't have to worry about that because we have not yet broached the subject of resources and funding, right? But you're exactly right. Overages are going to have to be accounted for in, in these dips, because it's just it's a reality of development. And so, and we don't want, what we don't want is the people who are working on the UX prods to feel, well, I guess I don't know. I was gonna say, like, we don't want them to feel like concerned about expanding a UX prod because it's related to this dip that has funding on it. But I that probably is the reality of how it works already anyway, because a product owner is aware, I imagine. Well, you tell me, Charlotte, but it seems like a product owner is probably aware of who is paying for this work to be done and what they're willing to pay for and what they're not willing to pay for. I mean, is that a concern that comes up in product ownership?
So I cannot talk about in general,
Yeah.
but I can see several UX prods is kind of like mushrooms, divide, 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 divide over several releases, part one, two, three, four. And that is a result of that you time-wise thought you could do it in one release, and then scope is expanding. And in index data, we have for different customers different ways to tackle this. For some, it is a fixed sum. For others, it is by hour. And there's also projects where it is a contract. And if we are going overtime, it is the loss is on index data
Yeah.
directly.
I mean,
Those project, if the latter, if that is going over with, months of time, it's really expensive.
yeah. I'm to be honest, I'm a little disappointed that we're not addressing the financial component, the resourcing component with this, because I think from my perspective, it is the real value of the dip. That's
Agree,
not actually
agree.
quite right.
I totally agree. It is what is important is have we the work funded? Is there money behind it? And have we decided who is doing it? And
Yeah.
nothing is happening on its own. So if no one claims it and says, okay, our development team is happy to do this work. And even when you say, okay, we have developers, we can do it, etc. But if there's no funding behind it, then it doesn't
The
help.
way I'm thinking of this is that I'm viewing this, and I should not have done this without drawing y'all's attention to it, I just realized, but I did change these bullet points up here. The intentionally scope to, and I added this bullet point here, provide an intermediate formulation of the dip process as defined in the community-driven development framework, right? So I put this in here because I guess that's what I've been trying to justify our efforts. Why are we making this thing if it's not doing the one thing that I guess we, at least when I wrote this initially, I was intending for it to address this resourcing issue, and it's not doing that. But there is a lot of stuff to figure out here, just the relationship between the UX prods, a new dashboard. So I guess I'm just seeing the minimally viable version as us figuring out the mechanics of just making these things exist, and maybe getting a few people to donate their time, I guess, to just trying it out, just so that we can improve it. And once that's established, then we can have a phase two where we, bring on the resourcing component and modify it to address that. But that's the best I can come up with as far as a justification for, doing this minimal version.
So right now, Yeah, it has been discussed back and forth with some customers and index data the past couple of weeks. But it is this feature the Thomas has written, and let me two seconds so I give you the right. But it is on the PCs, the community priority dashboard, and it is that ticket UX prod 4462. And right now we are discussing with three customers if they would be interested in co-sponsoring this. And it were jumping out of a Slack chat started back in 2023, and then suddenly people started to comment on it again. And yeah. That could maybe be if we want to have an example of some work being picked up, and we could then try to write up a dip ticket just for the case of illustration of the work, if that is any interesting.
No, that sounds like a great idea. And it makes me think, do we have stakeholders? Phase two refinement. I just realized one of the things that this could, the DIP, the minimally viable version could do is identify and list out the stakeholders, the people who are interested in seeing this work done. Because we don't necessarily have a formal mechanism for people, saying that, saying I have a vested interest in this UX pro, so if the DIP, we're able to list out institutions or organizations that are interested in it, that could be the beginning of identifying potential funding partners.
And then it could, I say, if we take that example, then it, I'd say one of the stakeholders could also be, a person who has this role from the PC and a SIG convener. Because this is work that has been discussed in the resource access SIG, and it is on the PC's community priority dashboard. Because, in a way, again, I think we need to have the PC needs also to drive that all the work they we have now gathered in this list, the PC has a responsibility to, I think, for making sure that the work then is being done.
Are y'all opposed at all to me? I don't want to do too much editing here. I'm just gonna add this as an additional comment here. We may want to list stakeholders as an initial field.
And maybe for us to not, maybe list that potential stakeholders could be the sponsoring libraries, a person responsible for the community priority list, and one from the given SIG domain. And it doesn't need to be the SIG convener, of course, but it can be. But in a way, I think having also the community involved would make sense.
I like this idea because it doesn't necessarily really do anything to list them out or like have people like opt in, but it is the beginning of the sort of thing that could end up being resourcing of the this sort of work. Okay. I'm going to go to this linking rules and constraints. And if anything on here doesn't sound right or sounds like it needs to be different, just say so and we'll throw a comment on there and I'll get it all fixed up in the next draft. required linkage. A DIP must maintain at least one active link to a UX prod using a defined issue link type like implements via UX prod or some kind of link that we create link type that we create for this. So what do y'all think about that idea that we require that a DIP has at all times at least one, that it's that in order for it to exist, it needs to be tied to specific intended work.
I agree because that's the only way it is also being, on the release planning, because the UX prod tickets are on these release dashboards.
And also on the SICK dashboards, right? So that SICKs can also monitor it.
And so, in order to enforce this, we have automation rules in place that basically disallow a DIP to be transitioned out of a draft unless it has a UX prod on it, at least one. And yeah, just continuing to note that it doesn't have to be one. It can, there can be multiple, but at least one. Okay. So it doesn't sound like we have a lot of comments on this. We're pretty happy with section five. All right. So this is the life cycle. This is the thing that relates most to the previous DIP documents at this point. Is this multi-phase d description? So phase one is an automatic thing. Automatic is it's manually initiated though. I don't. I'm gonna get rid of the word automatic on there. DIP is created via UX prod. The DIP creator is automatically assigned as the DIP coordinator, which we don't have to do that. Oh, I thumbs up apparently.
You probably waved your hands.
You hyped yourself up. That's great.
I. Here we go.
I'm half Italian, and my whole family—they talk with their hands. They're very expansive, and Zoom is not my friend anymore because of it. So here's what I'm going to say about this. This doesn't explicitly say product owner, but I think in reality, the product owner is probably the one who's most often going to click on that button. So it will most often result in the product owner being the coordinator. But if we do it this way, it leaves it open for the coordinator being a SIG convener or something like that, someone else who, has taken the initiative to do this. Do we want to change this stipulation in any way?
Is it necessary to give some examples so that the PO is not that not everything is laying on them, that it might be distributed to other the task, I mean, to other roles?
Maybe I think it's fine to add that parenthesis you are doing now.
I mean, most of the time it will be the PO,
So
right?
yeah, so I'm a little allergic to all these new terms we are inventing: DIP creator and DIP coordinator, and so et cetera. But it's probably me personally that I am a little.
I shouldn't have capitalized creator. I didn't mean for it to be like,
No,
you know.
but I'm probably a little bit more to stick to the terminology we use in Folio and not invent new terms. But that I as I say, it's me. I'm much more direct and down to earth.
Okay.
But
I understand
let's yeah,
that.
but let's yeah, it's probably a European thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we can abstract, we can live with it.
Yeah, I think the specification gives
Yeah,
some more.
it helps. Yeah.
Yeah, it helps. That's. I think that's. Yeah, what I can promise.
The DIP coordinator role can be changed if another individual is intended to be the coordinator. So, the idea being whoever clicks the button is automatically put in that role, but maybe you're doing it on behalf of somebody else and y'all have arranged it so you could go in and change, swap the
And
field.
that's exactly the same. Sometimes if in you we have a ton of old UX prod tickets filed by Kate Boehmer, who has not been with the project for 6 years now or something.
Yeah.
And if a new PO takes it on, start rewrite, and it doesn't make sense to have Kate as the PO on that or the reporter anymore because she was just adding 2 lines skeleton text. So
She would
it
be
can.
very surprised to find out that she was the owner of a new dip.
So we, of course, it's and we have people leaving the project and other people taking over. And so we need to be able to not be, yeah, update as accordingly as is necessary.
The scope and description may be refined. Just those, because those things are going to come over immediately from the UX prod, the initial UX prod that was used to create the DIP. But as you pointed out, the description might be too long. It might, so it's just a starting place for the DIP's language. And additional UX prods may be linked. And no specific council involvement at this stage, though I do think it would be good for the product council to be notified automatically that a DIP has been created. I don't know if that's possible.
Then you need to add all in the product council as watcher. Maybe
Yeah.
that's a little bit overkill. What I would suggest is that we have an automatically generated page, so similar to in our release notes.
Yeah.
Then the known issues is simply being generated based on labeling in the Jira ticket. So if we can add to the community priority list document at the bottom, simply what do we have of dips filed, and if they are listed in number order, then you would see the latest would be at the bottom.
Yeah, I like that.
Although otherwise, I am pretty sure the PO, when everything is going super fast and I need also to add watches, and then you add 8 out of 11 PC members, forgot 3 because you simply cannot remember, too busy.
All right, phase two, refinement phase. Stakeholders review. So we do have an issue. Because stakeholders are now
Can vary.
interacting with this, but we never explicitly, I mean, I don't know. I'm gonna put a pin in my objection. I need to formulate it. Stakeholders review functionality and functional and non-functional goals. So this is interesting. Yeah. Relevant SIGs may be consulted, technical feasibility and integration considerations documented, links to existing Jira artifacts are added, not duplicated. So, yeah, we probably need to list out the stakeholders is I guess what I'm
But they
saying.
will vary, right? If we
Yes.
take this UX Prod 4462 example, it's three specific libraries interested, but another dip, it will be completely a different group of stakeholders interested.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I guess this is just a way, these two, phase one and phase two in the minimally viable dip is basically just a way of saying we create it and then people look at it and suggest changes. The question is, I guess the question is, and you can tell me this, Charlotte, how much do people interface with UX prods and like comments and people like stakeholders or people who are interested in the development? Do you get as a product owner a lot of feedback from the community on what's being planned in a UX prod?
It depends a little bit. Some tasks are there are much more eyes on than other tasks. With your stakeholders, they often do not interact so much on the UX part because here you have meetings already. You have meetings and meeting minutes, and you work on the text together, etc. So it varies very much. I remember one, and that was not even a UX prod, but way back when Anne-Marie Barreau and I, we insisted on how the human readable IDs were to be implemented in inventory. I think we had 200 comments on that UIIN 155, I think it was number, and it was crazy. It was Harry Kaplanian, it was Mark Wexler.
Yeah.
But it ended exactly like Anne-Marie and I wanted it to be.
That's
But
great.
it
So
was
were y'all just
crazy.
advocating for the prefix, the
Know that the human readable ID was something you could set, and it was not these crazy long UUIDs. And as a human being, you need to have, you can understand a number sequence of 800, but it would still be unique with
Yeah.
because the underlying UUID is unique.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it took forever to it was yeah, but it
Yeah.
was yeah. I will yeah, I will that's something I will always remember. But it was Anne-Marie and I, we did this we did that fight together, arm in arm.
Think I remember.
Yeah, you probably do. And I tell you, and maybe I haven't mentioned it, but National Lab of Sweden have just implemented that they have the union catalog with system control numbers, and that system control number is identical with the human readable ID in the instance record.
Wow.
Just like you do in GBV, you have the PPN
Yeah.
number. It's also same. So it is really nice and clean and
I'm so happy that others also think that is a good idea.
And then they have implemented this because they have BibFrame record in their Libris union catalog. So the new instant source UI data element is a link directly back to Libris. So they have built it's a nice workflow for their metadata.
That sounds good.
I just added this bullet point here. When the refinement stage concludes, the dip will be marked as ready for endorsement. It just, I don't know, seemed like a good thing to explicitly state that this can kind of go on until now. The question is, so one thing that's not defined here is, I guess by the coordinator, I should say.
But very, oh, sorry, I am interrupting here.
Oh.
But we really need it to be, a process where it is nothing where the PO is to spend, 2, 3 hours preparing and making sure and go and present. And, it really needs to be a smooth process. Otherwise, it's, it simply got to be we have gotten this information, everything is, and then give it a stamp, to my mind. Otherwise, we are simply putting an extra bureaucratic burden on, and that is expensive hours pulled out of what is to be worked on. So just
All
keep
right,
it in mind.
phase three is the endorsement phase. The DIP is reviewed by the product council, functional goals, user values, product alignment are things that we're checking for. And the technical council checks it for architecture, sustainability, non-functional requirements. So this is something that we would need buy-in from the technical council on. But I do think that they do kind of already have, I don't know if they've sunsetted this, but when I was on the technical council, we would do RFPs, right?
No, no, we they
RFCs, request for comments.
okay.
Um,
But we
and
are also doing the TC reviews in many cases. So I will say the DIP process is even before we have started the work. Then you cannot say anything about architecture, sustainability, because the developers have not even had their hands on yet.
Yeah, so I do think there have been times when I was on the TC when we were given documents that existed, like strategic technical planning documents for implementation prior to any implementation, database schemas or architectural, like kind of like plans for how something was going to be implemented. And I think it would be good if such things existed, if the TC were able to look at them, before development started, just in case there was any gotchas, anything that maybe was something that was heading in the wrong direction. I do think, I guess, that the technical council might not have a lot to look at, and maybe their involvement oftentimes would be more of a rubber stamp because there's nothing to, nothing to evaluate. But in cases where there are specific intentions or plans, like if somebody is proposing a feature that looks like it might be implemented in a way that could be problematic, it would be good for the TC to be able to say, well, make sure that it's not done this way, or when you do this, make sure that you, like, for instance, the Folio Query Manager, right? This is something that sits behind the scenes and should enable modules to get data from other modules using a very prescribed way of communication through this module. But not all modules on the back end utilize the Folio Query Manager. So if somebody is proposing a UX prod that seems like, in order for it to do what it needs to do, it's going to need to get data from somewhere else, then this would be a good opportunity for the TC to identify that fact and just let people know before they start development, hey, when you implement this, you need to consider using the query manager in order to get at this data, so that those ideas are kind of seeded in the process before implementation.
In an ideal world, you are right. But this is about, can we have this funded? And can we get this approved? And no developer will start or should start work on anything until it is decided. So it's difficult. If nobody, you already at this point, then the PO has spent several hours talking with the six, investigating, looking into writing up your export tickets, and that is all unpaid work at this point, because the DIP is not decided. At least with our, then you know, you have to be really careful. I have to be really careful until to with involving any developer, because they are already heads down with other works and context shift, at least in the developers I work with, they hate it. So if I come and ask them, can you give me an architecture paper for this and this new functionality?
Yeah.
Because I need the TC to take a look at it. Then they will tell me, okay, so you will have me to pause for 5 days on this and this and this.
Yeah.
Is that, and you know, it's not often that I could do that because all the other tasks are paid work we have promised a delivery on.
Sure.
So I am skeptical on that one.
So I do think that, the reason why the TC is here in phase three is because in subsequent versions of this, when resourcing is around, if we, you know, if this, in the CDDF version of this, there was a need for there to be an evaluation of potential maintenance costs and the development cost of this. And the TC's involvement was to verify you know, those cost estimates for, you know, from a technical perspective. Since we're not doing that, it could be the case that the TC doesn't have a significant role to play in the minimally viable version. At the very least, I guess it would be good if there are any technical questions, you know, if there are technical questions that need to be answered before work is done, that it could be a good area for, you know, the TC to get involved at this point. But if there aren't any technical questions, maybe there's just nothing for them to do.
So maybe it could be worded as you know, an opportunity. If there's anywhere the given development team would like to reach out and get some, you know, back and forth feedback on ideas, the TC would be available. It can also be that it is a different development team who previously has worked on given work. And you know, right now we are doing work for index data for Hibis, and we are working on some functionality where we are receiver of work the Leipzig team has done. So we have had a meeting with their developers to, you know, for our developers to work with Leipzig's developers to, you know, get an understanding on data and the data structure and where to fetch, etc., etc. So I'd say that would be useful, or that is useful, and that is how we could do things today.
Okay. All right. We're at time. We have s several more things to go over.
So, would you mind set a question mark or something so we remember that? Or did you put a comment?
Yeah,
Because,
I said these things. We need to address the fact that there will be not be any implementation for the TC to evaluate. We need to specify what specific feedback is needed from the TC, if any. Maybe this is more of an opportunity for technical feedback and not a requirement.
Excellent. Good.
Okay. All right. So we're supposed to have a calming week next week, but we will definitely miss our deadline in March. if we don't meet next week.
It's fine. We can meet
Okay. So I'll
for
leave it
me.
on the calendar for now. And we'll continue this evaluation process. I still think we might need to push out when we bring this to the PC, maybe 1 week, because I would like to finish marking up the document next week. And then I'd like to go and address all the comments and refine the document. I'd like to then bring it to the PC for feedback. And then make refinement off of that feedback and then present it for approval the following week. So that puts us 3 weeks into March at that point, I think.
Would it make sense that we at the end of the doc or had a second document where we kind of did an illustrating example? So
I like that idea.
And it could be that UX product I was talking about because it's little scoped and three stakeholders and we kind of illustrate what it is.
Okay. I like that idea.
Yeah, me too.
All right. I appreciate y'all's time and energy working on this. I have to run, but I hope y'all have a good evening, afternoon.
Yeah,
You
same to
too.
you. Yeah,
Bye,
bye-bye.
everyone.